Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everyone's having an absolutely tremendously awesome day today. And how are you doing today, Dan?
Blessed beyond measure, shaking down, running over. I mean, you know, this is the day the Lord hath made. Now, let me share something with you guys real quick. It doesn't matter what my day is and what I've had to deal with this morning or anything else. I'm always going to tell you, blessed of the Lord, and this is the day the Lord hath made. Why is that? Well, number one, because I believe that with all of my heart. And guys, I personally believe that what we speak about, we bring about, because that's what the Bible says, isn't it? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, that we'll be judged or acquitted by all the words that we speak. So the word says, and this is the day the Lord hath made, I will rejoice and be glad in it. That's a positive scripture that I like to use every single day, because if I'm going to help determine the course of my life by the words that I speak and by the prayers that I pray and by the beliefs that I believe, I'm going to believe the right stuff. I'm not going to speak negative stuff all the time. It doesn't matter if we have coronavirus. It doesn't matter, you know, what's going on. It doesn't matter if it's raining. Who cares? This is the day the Lord hath made. Because, guys, think about this for a second. We've only got really the ability to control one thing. That's pretty much our attitude. The government has proven they can pretty much do whatever they want to do, whenever they want to do it, however they want to do it. We'll just sit there and lick boots, which we really haven't been doing. And the United States is getting pretty fed up with this, to be honest with you. And people all over Facebook are starting to say, hey, we've had enough of this. We don't want to play this game anymore. We don't want to play this game, and we don't want to sit at home. The biggest thing that they never understood, Austin, with the people here in the United States, is that, you know, we basically are a people that have been dedicated to a life in pursuit of excellence in the most part. You know, we set goals, we have dreams, we have ambitions. We are fueled through the Protestant work ethic. Now, what does that mean? Back in 1980, when I was in the MBA program, 1978 through 1980 at Florida State University, they taught us that the great economic engine of the United States was fueled through the Protestant work ethic. In other words, it was the Protestants who believed that God was watching them, that God would reward them, that God was directing the course of their lives, who would believe and pray to God, who were fueling the great economic growth of the United States. And they taught that in the College of Business at Florida State University 40 years ago. They called it the Protestant work ethic. Now, that probably isn't taught anymore. They probably call it something else. Who knows what they call it now? But the reality is that's what did it. The Catholics were all reliant upon the Pope and upon the Catholic Church and, you know, and all the things they needed to do. They really weren't the hard drivers of the economic revolution. Germany was the primary engine of the Protestant revolution with Martin Luther. And when this happened, the German people began to really work, read their Bibles, and to focus and have become goal-oriented and realize that there were a lot of things they could control by the fact that they could have the right attitude and work hard. Hence, my grandmother did that plaque. I need to go ahead and put a picture. I'm going to take a picture of that today. Remind me, Austin. I'm going to take a picture of that. We're going to put it on our Health Masters Facebook page. I want you guys to see what I always talk about. And basically what it says is, Zwei Leben stützen, brechen nie, Gebet und Arbeit heißen sie. And what that means, there's two principles, foundation, pillars of life that can never be broken. They are prayer, Gebet und Arbeit, and work. This is what the Protestant work ethic revolution was all about. So they thought they could shut down the economic world engine, which I'm going to talk about that in just a second, why I believe they're doing that. But finally, Ron Paul comes out of the Ron Paul Institute and says, resistance is building through the coronavirus house arrest orders. It was written by Daniel McAdams, and they're calling it house arrest. And I haven't heard it called that yet, but we're all kind of under house arrest right now. Across the country, from political leaders to small business owners to parents who just want to take their children to the park, resistance is growing to the authoritarians who have effectively suspended the Constitution and placed most of the country under house arrest. Man, that's a good term. I like that. Lawsuits are also challenging unlawful stay-at-home orders. I don't like the house arrest, but I like the way they said that word. What if all the hysteria-driven orders have actually made the virus outbreak even worse? More scientists are coming forward to argue for the Sweden model of moderation than lockdown. And, you know, here's the thing. Yesterday I was watching a video with Greg Hunter and Catherine Austin Fitz, and I have it placed on the Health Masters news site. You guys can go click on there and read it. And she said one of the reasons that she feels, that she's speculating here, that Trump has followed the Rothschild lead in shutting down the economic world engine. Now, listen to this. This is a good theory she came up with. I like this. I give her credit for this. She said, we were about to experience hyperinflation in the United States because of what the Fed's doing now to intervene in the markets because of the derivatives. In addition to that, guys, everybody was trying to get rid of the petrodollar. We talked about that yesterday because they didn't want to trade oil any longer in U.S. dollars. They wanted to be free to trade oil however they wanted to trade oil. Venezuela being a number one, you know, oil reserve country in the world, didn't want to use dollars. Russia didn't want to use dollars. China didn't want to use dollars. Everybody had had enough of what Nixon did back in the 70s with the petrodollar stabilizing the reserve currency, which is the U.S. dollar, and we've had that system down for like 50 years. And finally, everybody's had enough of it, and they don't want to do it anymore. They don't want to be our slave for the U.S. dollar and so basically allow our dollar to maintain its value through the petrodollar and allow the United States to maintain a lifestyle that's inflated with borrowed money. And they just had enough of it. They want to start a new system. And they wanted to start it from China into Europe and basically bypass the U.S. of the entire petrodollar. So she says that what they did, and I'm paraphrasing what she said, but this is what she meant by it as far as I understand it, is that Trump knew and the Rothschilds knew and the central banks knew that we were about to have to hyperinflate the U.S. dollar because of demand. And the easiest thing to do to reduce demand was to basically shut down the economic world engine, shut down small businesses, put everybody basically on lockdown, on house arrest, and decrease demand, which would decrease inflation. In other words, if you take everybody and you have like 17 million people now filing for unemployment all at once, there's no longer a demand to go buy fancy tennis shoes. There's no longer a demand to go buy, you know, a new car. There's no longer a demand. And so what ends up happening is there's a massive contraction of spending. When that happens, you massively decrease inflation and you don't end up with hyperinflation. You don't go Weimar Republic with the U.S. dollar. In other words, it doesn't become worthless. My mom was paying 40 billion marks for one loaf of bread in Germany in the early 20s. She was born in 1960. She was a little child. She remembers Opa literally taking a wheelbarrow to the bread store and giving them 40 billion marks for, that's about the equivalent of 10 billion U.S. dollars if you hyperinflated it. It was like 4 to 1 to buy a loaf of bread. And finally it got to the point that the government was printing money and giving it to the people. Guess what we're doing? We're printing money and giving it to the people. We're doing that right now in order to sustain lifestyle so people wouldn't starve to death. Mom said that they would have to go to the store as quickly as possible. They got their money in the morning because the bread would be worth more the next day. We'd have to get more money from the government. They finally got to the point where the bread was so expensive they had to use barter because the dollars, the marks were nothing as far as paying for anything. And they couldn't buy firewood because they almost all had fires inside the wood stoves in their houses because the wood was more expensive than the dollars or the marks. They would burn the money in the stoves for heat, burn it in the wood stoves in the house because it was cheaper to do that than try to buy firewood. This is where the United States was headed because of what we've done. We've had close to $30 trillion stolen by the international banking communities and organized crime syndicates. Catherine Austin-Fitz talked about that, and a Harvard economist came out and released that story. But, of course, the mainstream media never did any stories on it whatsoever that I remember, and they forgot all about it because we're all being controlled through the Rothschild banking cartel. And the Rothschild banking cartel are Kabbalists. They're Luciferians. They worship Ein Sof. They're satanic. This is who these guys are. They're the guys who started World War I. They started World War II. They financed Hitler. They basically destroyed Hitler. They've caused massive persecution to occur in Europe to push people back into Palestine, which then became Israel. They did all of this stuff to further their goal of rebuilding a third temple in order to bring a antichrist from the third temple and have him declare himself God from the temple steps. This is who's doing it. And an interesting article just came out this morning. And I've told you this. I've told you for years that Israel was the Rothschilds' fiefdom. And here's an article from the Freedom Articles, and it says, the Rothschilds own Israel, and they direct its genocidal policy. The Rothschilds own 80% of Israel, according to Simon Schama, S-C-H-A-M-A. They built the Israeli Supreme Court. They own Reuters and the Associated Press, the two biggest media agencies in the world. They have controlling share in the Dutch Royal Company, oil company, the Bank of England, the London Bullion Market Association. There you go, guys. That's why the oil. That's why we all the prices of gold and silver go where they need to go. They foment wars. They install presidents. Remember, they run the CIA. They dethrone kings. And they bankrupt nations. Such is their power. The Rothschilds typically operate behind the scenes. In the case of Israel, the Rothschilds engineered World War I and waited until 1917. Then Britain was in trouble. The Rothschilds then promised the British government, through the Balfour Declaration, they would get the U.S. to enter World War I and thus assure Britain's victory over Germany. However, they wanted something in return, Palestine. Thus, the Balfour Declaration was created, which is an official letter from British government Foreign Secretary James Balfour to Baron Rothschild, and it states that His Majesty's government view with favor the establishment in Palestine of a national home for Jewish people and will use their best endeavors to facilitate the achievement of the project. If the United States, I'm adding this, was brought into World War I. There's a big problem with this. Palestine was never Britain's to give away. It rightfully belonged to the Arab and Palestinian people living there. The Rothschild Zionist Jews came in, took over and forcibly evacuated and killed millions of Palestinians who lived there. Now, I heard it was hundreds of thousands. This article says millions. They are still committing genocide to this day, which is true. The recreation of the Zionist state was massively and unjust right from the beginning. Something conceived in inequity breeds a conflict down the road. This all started, by the way, in about 1820 when they really started pushing it through the Masonic lodges, which are Kabbalist in nature from the Zohar, and pushed it all the way for 200 years until today, as far as what they're doing. Zionist Israel controls the governments of the U.S., Britain, Canada, France, and more, and they control Israel. So this is an article, of course, by Micaiah Freeman, okay, which is basically a pseudonym, and it's from the Freedom Articles. I just posted it on the Health Masters website in the news site, which will be up probably by early this evening. So I want you guys to understand what's going on. I don't make this stuff up. I have just done and read... I've read literally tens of thousands of articles. I can't tell you how many books I've read. And I study this stuff all of the time. And it's all about bringing us under the Israeli Supreme Court, under Noahide laws, into a one-world government, a one-world religion, and a one-world dictatorship, in which worshiping Jesus Christ will be idolatry and subject to being guillotined and having your head cut off, being killed. This is where it's going. It's going to be the rule of the Antichrist. Basically what this is going to be, the rule of the Antichrist, and they want to bring the Antichrist out, but they want to bring him into the spirit, they want to bring him into the Holy of Holies, behind the curtain, where the altar is, and they want to pierce him with the spear of destiny, which is the spear of death, which is the tip of the spear that was allegedly pushed to the side of Jesus to assure he was dead on the cross. They want to basically cut him, spill his blood on the altar, and bring him out and declare him God. This is their goal. You think, well, this sounds crazy. I know it sounds crazy. I think they're all nuts. And I agree with you. If you think it sounds great, I'm just telling you what they believe. The difference is they believe it's strong enough to die for it. And this is the goal that they're doing right now. In fact, this morning, I was over at Austin's house, and you know, he had some block masons over there, and we were talking, and they were talking about the coronavirus. And one of them says, well, you know what this is all about, don't you? And I said, what's that? He goes, the rule and the reign of the Antichrist. And I thought, wow. His name's Rick. And I said, wow. I said, you read. He goes, well, I'm a Christian. He goes, that's what this is bringing in. And it's, we're seeing the book of Revelation open before our eyes. And I said, oh boy, I got some shows I want you to listen to. He said, well, that's what this is all about. So then I explained to him what Ivanka Kushner, you know, what she was doing, Trump's daughter, and Jared Kushner. Remember, you have to remember this. When Ivanka converted to the Shabbat sect of Judaism and started practicing the Kabbalah and following the Zohar, but she did all that, she had to renounce Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. She had to renounce the virgin birth to convert. She's not a Christian. She's renounced Jesus. And Donald Trump knew this, and he allowed it. Now, isn't that interesting to anybody but me? Now, he's saying that she was responsible for creating millions and millions of jobs in the United States, but they're not talking about the 17 million Americans who filed for unemployment in the past 3 weeks. They're not talking about that. And now they're saying that Ivanka Trump is seeking to headline the administration's small business recovery effort. In other words, Donald Trump is putting her in charge of these loans to these small businesses. A Kabbalist. Now think through me, do this with me. When you do this, you're going to sign the loan covenant with these guys. which means basically you have a loan taken out in your name, in your small business's name. You got to read through the fine print, and you can only spend the money on what they tell you that you can spend the money on. Now, if you don't listen to them and you break that loan covenant, you give them the opportunity to come in and audit you, and you're going to have to get attorneys, CPAs, and everybody that you can possibly imagine to come in with you during the audit, which is going to end up costing you a lot of money, a lot of money. And if they find that you've breached the loan covenant that you've signed, they're going to bring in their group of people, and they're going to take over your business. They're going to take over your company. And if you object, they're going to get a restraining order on you, and they're going to be booted out under a court order. I'm telling you what's going to happen. So this free money that we're getting from this Rothschild banking cartel known as the Federal Reserve, who basically runs the government of the United States through dual citizenships in the Congress and in the Senate, they're going to do whatever they darn well please. If you sign this paperwork and you take a loan from them, you know, it's like this. If you're going to dance with the devil in the moonlight, you're going to dance his song. I just thought I'd mention that. If you get in bed with these boys and girls, they're some sickos. I mean, these guys are some sickos. They do some weird stuff. And if you really want to be in business or in partnership with these guys. Now, I understand if you are at a point now in your business where your cash flow has been so crippled because of this shutting down the economic world engine and you have no choice, you've got to make payroll, it's either that or bankruptcy. Interesting how they put you there, isn't it? Interesting how they put you there. The same boys and girls who took down Building 7, they. All right? They put you there, and now you don't have a choice. I'm letting you know. You may lose your business. You may lose your company. You may lose your very source of revenue that you're signing over to them with these loans. Because the Bible tells you very clearly, friends, that the borrower is servant to the lender. Very important that you understand that, and we all understand that. So they're saying that half of the businesses now, if this continues for another 3 to 4 weeks, won't make it, are going to be gone. And now we're starting to see the economic impact. I've got a friend of mine who runs a large Chevrolet dealership here in town. In fact, I get my Silverados from them, my trucks that I buy. And he basically told me that they're down to like 9 cars a day. Well, this dealership is huge. It has literally, you know, 2,000 cars normally in inventory. It is doing 9 cars a day. Well, guys, that's not even a break even. You can't do it. You can't maintain the dealership. You can't maintain the cash flow on 9 cars a day. It's impossible. So they're shutting down the economic world engine, and according to Catherine Fitz, to prevent hyperinflation by destroying demand. So in other words, when people don't have jobs and they don't have money, they don't want to buy a new car. They don't want to go buy their Gucci purse or their fancy tennis shoes that people pay $400 or $500 for a pair of tennis shoes. Whatever. I wear Birkenstocks because it's better for my feet. They're the ugliest shoes you can buy, but they're really comfortable. People always joke, oh, your shoes are so ugly. I'm like, I really don't care. They feel good. But see, this is the goal they have. The goal they have is to have world dominance. Remember, you know, Austin talked about this. Remember the Hunger Games? They want to break us down into segments of the population and bring us, reduce us back into a feudal society.
Yep.
We have different groups. Guys, these sick people are actually thinking about doing stuff like this. So anyhow, that's my opening statement. Austin, what do you think, bud?
That's exactly right. And I mean, that's why I've always encouraged people to watch that first film, especially that first film. And you got to look through some of the propaganda and keep your lenses on and your filter on. But when you watch it, they show you exactly in that movie what their goal is. And every time I've ever watched that movie, I always tell Lana, I say, do you see this right here? And she said, what? I said, do you see this? She goes, yeah, I see it. And I said, do you see it? And she goes, yeah. I said, this is why you never allow yourself to be disarmed. When they come in with the massive UN white helmets that they have in that movie, as far as they're the global police and their big giant white MRAPs, and they go and take over whatever cities they want and pillage and steal and beat everybody and arrest people, and everybody's been disarmed. Remember the girl? Remember the main lead actress in that? She got a bow and arrow she goes hunting with. Remember, if you notice, she can never bring it into camp. She has to go hide it outside of the wire out in the woods because it's a felony to get caught with any type of weaponry. Can't have it. That's where they're trying to take it to with everybody. And this is just that. That's way down the line, but that's the overall goal. It's interesting enough. I saw another article that came out here that I was going through, and it was kind of troubling me to see some of these incidences that are going on right now and some of the stuff that's actually happening all across the country. And WND put up an article here of all these incidences now where people basically have been writing columns, have been writing articles, have been writing opinion pieces on what's going on all across the country with people and this giant police state of this invisible martial law, I want to call it, because that's really what it is. They're never going to call it martial law per se, but we're in under a state of martial law right now. You may not see U.S. Army and Marine Corps on the boots going house to house, you know, disarming people yet. I don't think that's going to happen, but I'm saying you don't see that yet. But we have a gigantic show of force from pretty much every single state with troopers, sheriff, law enforcement all across the board. And here's the problem that we've run into now. I'm friends with a lot of cops, friends with a lot of sheriffs. A lot of them are really cool. Some of them are really bad. I'm just be honest with you. Everybody understands, even in law enforcement, most of the guys, if they're honest with you, if you're friends with the sheriff, they'll tell you, yeah, there's usually a few guys on the force that are just absolute, complete, and total blankety blanks. They're horrible to deal with. They're horrible for us to deal with. They're horrible for the public to deal with. But again, unless you have formal issues repeatedly, you can't just terminate them without cause just because they're being rude. It's not a point for firing. And what's happened now is a lot of these sheriffs and police that already have that attitude, that already have that demeanor, that are basically the rotten apples that give the other cops a bad name, they now have taken this level of power that they've been granted now, almost Gestapo-level power, SS, to stop people and tell them, you can't stand this close to one another. You can't be in this park together. There's 11 of you. You have to disperse immediately. This is happening all across the country. Here's an incident right here where in USA Today reported Pennsylvania State Police cited a 19-year-old Anita Lynn Schaefer who was taking a drive. They said she was in violation of her stay-at-home order. However, the stay-at-home order allowed outdoor activities such as walking, hiking, or running if it's essential, which I don't even know what that's supposed to mean. That's giving so much interpretation, it's ridiculous. Well, she was pulled over. She was fined $200 for violating the stay-at-home order. Fined. So it's not only bad enough now, they forced you to shut your business. Now they forced you to stay in your home. Now you go outside to basically go and take a walk out of basically a local trail, and you're stopped by law enforcement and fined $200. Why? Because it generates revenue. Oh, of course it does. You can't skip that topic. They want to continue to extract their pound of flesh out of the populace. So now they're giving them the right to fine people for simply trying to travel freely unmolested on their way. Another one here from columnist Michael Macon wrote about a family in Brighton, Colorado. Family. A father basically is in an empty parking lot playing T-ball with his 6-year-old daughter and wife. Empty parking lot out in the middle of nowhere in Brighton, Colorado. 3 police officers pull up, basically tell him that he is not allowed to be there, that they are breaking quarantine, and they have to leave immediately. They actually handcuff him and sit him in the back of the cop car for 30 minutes while they figure out what to do of him. When they finally call up their lieutenant basically yells at him, tells them they're completely and totally nuts and let him go, and they let him go. Why, again? Because now you've given unfettered, unrestricted access to law enforcement to arrest, detain, and fine people for literally traveling freely, unmolested on their way, which is a gross violation of the United States Constitution. And what's interesting now, they went on and wrote an article about it, and they said, and this is really well said, they said these restrictions have become arbitrary, irrational, and unevenly applied. While children's swings and slides now appear to be crime scenes and shut down, golf courses across the country and city in some cases are wide open. Weed and booze stores are considered essential. Ice cream, dessert joints, and fast food outlets with takeout are still operating at full tilt. But family-owned sit-down restaurants that have been staples in our community have been forced to shut their doors after decades of business. Another incident, ABC News report of father, who's a former Colorado State Patrol trooper, Matt Mooney, was also handcuffed and arrested for basically walking around with his son and daughter at a park that was allegedly closed. And apparently they now dropped the charges on that whole incident, and because the whole thing got so unbelievably convoluted. Another incident, two New Jersey residents now were arrested for allowing other people in their home for a wedding, and they charged them with defiance of social distancing disorder. The article goes on and on and on. I mean, incident after incident after incident after incident like this all across the country that's happening now. What is happening in this country, guys? I mean, have we reached a point to where we no longer feel that the rule of law applies? We no longer feel that the Constitution is legitimate anymore? That now we pretty much, the only thing we can do is be told to go into our homes? What's ironic now is we're seeing the numbers out of New York are exactly what we've been saying. Article just came out from the New American today going into detail on what's going on with the actual death numbers in New York and the people that are already having significant health problems. They go on to say here that out of roughly out of the 5,500 people that have deceased now in New York City, over 4,700 of them have had either one or more underlying illness and condition. That's over 86%. Now, what's even crazier about this is they said that over 96% of the people that have died have been over 50 years old. And of those 96%, basically 85% of them, 86% of them, have had underlying health incidences. So here's what we have to ask ourselves here. In the incidences of people dying under the age of 30, there's been 31 people in all of New York that have died under the age of 30. And of those people that have died under 30, 9 of them had a serious health condition, and basically 6 of them had some type of complication, whatever that's supposed to mean. Meaning they're basically putting stuff down with people that are already having health problems and they're listing as coronavirus. So this latest data showing that young, healthy people essentially are very unlikely to die from the disease invites the question of why quarantines are directed at the entire population rather just saying, hey, if you're really sick or you have health issues or if you're elderly, you need to stay at home. We highly recommend you stay at home. We'll do delivery services. We'll make sure people don't come to your home. We'll make sure you basically self-quarantine if you feel like this is a problem. If you're basically an older individual and you have health problems, we'll try to cater to you and make sure that you don't have to be exposed and go outside. Instead of shutting down the entire country. And as far as Dad and I talked about last night, exactly what he talked about with Catherine Fitz, this makes complete sense when he told me that yesterday. They had to shut down the entire economy to hyperinflation. Because I've been asking him that for the last couple weeks. I said, how do you dump $4 trillion into the market, which the Fed already said, and they basically said it's unlimited. They said they will pump as much money as they have to into the economy to keep it propped up, which is obviously a complete and total sham, because you cannot pump trillions of dollars over and over and over and over again and not have hyperinflation. It's physically impossible. But what they're doing is they're not printing the money because there's no demand for the money because nobody's buying anything. As Dad said, nobody really is interested in buying new cars right now. Nobody's going out looking at buying big houses now. Everybody's kind of like, oh, we need to hold off on that. It's funny, about 2 years ago, Lana and I looked at a real nice house over, it's a place called Juliana Reserves, big gated community, real big house, two-story house on the lake, and it basically had been short sold in a foreclosure back in 2009, and so the house was huge, but the listing price on it was still moderate to how big it was, but it was still been a very big mortgage for me to buy it off, and I'm real funny about money. I don't like to get situations where I'm really, really heavily leveraged like that. Well, then we started working with the realtor, started talking to him, and we liked the house. I mean, it was really nice, right on the water. And then they showed me the numbers on it, and I said, okay, so what are we looking at here? And then I looked at this side section. I said, it says right here, what is this? I said, this is $13,000 a year. I said, what is this? And I said, well, that's your property taxes. I said, my property taxes? I said, they're $1,100 a month? And they said, well, yeah, you know, you're in this prestigious gated community, you're in this house, you're on the lake. That's what they've assessed. I said, so even if I hustle and try to pay this house down in 15 years and completely pay off my mortgage, I have to pay $1,100 a month just in property taxes. And they said, Well, yeah. And they said, oh, and two, you have another $400 a month HOA fee. I said, oh, $400 a month HOA fee. I said, so it's $1,500 a month. And I showed the numbers to Dad. He said, well, yeah, remember that. He goes, if you possibly pay this house off, he goes, you're going to have that. He said, and remember, you're going to have your electric bill, and you're going to have your maintenance, and you're going to have your roof shingling when you have to do it, and you're going to have certain things that go out like AC systems, and all down the line. He said, so plan on it. Even if you actually pay this house off and you just hammer down on it, factor in you're going to be looking at anywhere from $2,000 to $3,000 every single month for the rest of your life just to live there to keep up with the maintenance and bills that are on the house. And I said, wow, that's not something I want to get involved in. So we ended up building a nice house over here, much, much, much smaller, but, you know, well-built still, that's easy to maintain. Property taxes are very, very low on them in the county, no gated community, and that's what we ended up deciding to do. And it just, you know, but I'm so glad now, watching this situation unfold in front of my eyes, looking at it going, man, I'm really glad I didn't have that giant monkey on my back every single month that I had to try to pay off now with some giant house. And as Dad says, with money I don't have, the house that I absolutely did not need to impress a whole lot of people that I probably did know, but a lot of them that I didn't know. So you can be the big boy on the block with the biggest, baddest house with the most gigantic mortgage as well on the street. So just lest you guys believe that I don't think about this stuff and I don't try to get in stuff like this and I try to manage it as well, I do. So be aware of that right now, guys, especially with stuff that's going on. And understand, especially with houses, when you're dealing with houses, I mean, it's bad enough if you're dealing with vehicles or toys or motorhomes. Worst case scenario, you dump them and basically default on them and you gotta get, you know, hit your credit. That's bad enough. But when you get in these mortgages that this is your home, this is where your family lives, this is where they sleep every night, this is that roof over your head, this is that house that you protect your family in, be very, very careful when you get in these big, 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 gigantic mortgages that you gotta eat. I looked at a house down in Palm Beach just online. We were just one day, Lane and I were looking at houses, and we were looking at stuff, and we found this house down there, like right on the water. It's like 3 acres, 30,000 square foot house. I'm just looking at it online because I was just so impressed with how it was in the photos. And we started looking at stuff. I mean, you know, it would be a monstrosity of a mortgage. And then we looked at the numbers on it, and I looked at it. $85,000 a month in property taxes. In property taxes. Not the mortgage. If you actually had the cash to buy that house cash, you would spend $1 million a year, every year of your life, just in the property taxes that the state extracts their pound of flesh out of you with in houses like that. And that is where a lot of people don't look at the final numbers when they're buying houses, because a lot of times when you do mortgages, they wrap all that up into the payment. So you have this big, gigantic payment you're looking at, and you don't realize if you ever actually pay that bill off and you pay that note off, it doesn't stop. You still have those things continually going. So I encourage everybody, use wisdom right now. Make good decisions with finances, because I promise you, this isn't going to be the end of it. These guys are going to keep this going on. I mean, they're already talking about trying to run this restricted quarantine through summer, guys. I mean, they've already talked about now with Fossey and that other blithering clown that he has with him. This is going to be something we're going to have to figure out how to handle from a patriot movement. We're also going to have to figure out how far we want to allow unconstitutional restrictions to guide and dictate us and our lives. That's something that we do have to start thinking about now, Dad.
You know, it's so funny. You talk about those houses. I knew a guy back on the seminar circuit back in the day. He was like the big planner, the big guru of this thing. And he bought one of those big homes on the water down in Palm Beach. And it was exactly like you said it was, Austin. It was $300,000 a month with insurance, taxes, and payments. A month. I mean, I can't even think of numbers like that. And, of course, he ended up losing the house. He lost it because he couldn't make the payments on it. After the seminar business folded up on him, he basically had to walk away from it. And, you know, huge disaster for him as far as his credit score and everything else. He's probably still in litigation over it, but I don't know that. And you think, well, I've never heard of numbers like this, Ted. Gosh, guys, I had never heard of numbers like this either. But people live like that. And it's like, people look at their mortgage payment as, well, it's a deduction for me. And so they don't have to pay taxes on it. You know, some of those tax rules have changed now. So you better check with your CPA to find out how much you can write off, especially on some of these bigger homes. So what a mess. By the way, China is more of a threat now to the U.S. than Russia, according to Attorney General Bill Barr in an escalating rhetoric aimed at Beijing over the coronavirus cover-up as he accuses President Xi's country of full-court blitzkrieg against America. He basically said that China committed war against us by what he's saying. Comments come amid rising criticism of Beijing from senior officials about China's reported COVID-19 cases. The Attorney General said China is a bigger threat than Russia geopolitically, economically, militarily, and a threat to the integrity of our institutions. Now, there you go. Well, this is what happens with a country like China when they don't want to continue to be your wayward girlfriend and do everything you tell them to do. And they decide they're not going to sign these treaties with you, and they're not going to be whatever. And you remember Donald Trump was trying to sanction them. So now Barr is accusing them of this coronavirus stuff. Some pretty strong rhetoric. I mean, it's pretty much accusing them of war. And here's another article from Bakerfields.com, and it says, the coronavirus pandemic is pushing the U.S. and China closer to Cold War. You know, remember I talked to you guys about this in depth last Friday, if you didn't hear that show. It says the coronavirus pandemic is an unexpected but potentially fateful twist, which has moved the United States and China a big step closer now to a new Cold War. So, guys, watch what they're saying and think about what they're saying, because right now they are basically setting up, Kushner wants to do this, a Patriot Act towards the coronavirus, a medical Patriot Act. This is from Politico. It was posted on our website. It says, Kushner's team seeks national coronavirus surveillance system. This is pretty scary stuff, guys. This is almost, in fact, they actually use this individual mandate as a term of medical Patriot Act. In fact, health privacy laws already grant broad exceptions for national security purposes. But the prospect of compiling a national database of potentially sensitive health information has prompted concerns about its impact on civil liberties as well as the coronavirus threat, with some critics comparing it to the Patriot Act enacted after the 9/11 attacks. Already, the Trump administration has sought to ease data sharing rules and assure health data companies don't and won't be penalized for sharing information with state and federal officials. A more driven is part by Kushner's push to assemble a national network. I mean, he's talking about a national network of snitches and medical organizations that snitch on you and basically tell them what you're doing and where you need to go and everything else. You know, now the uber evil Bill Gates basically has crossed the Rubicon, so to speak. In fact, this is an article from Zero Hedge that says Bill Gates crosses the digital Rubicon. It says that mass gatherings, like football games, churches, may not return without a global vaccine. I mean, who does this? Oh, that's right. Who does he think he is? He thinks he's the Rothschild cutout for the tech industry. And his dad was already heavily involved with banks and also was, you know, Planned Parenthood. A recurring theme among conspiracy theorists is that the elite are just waiting for the right moment to roll out their Mark of the Beast technology to remotely identify and control every single human being on the planet. Well, yeah, I have said that, haven't I? Thus sealing their plans for a one-world government. Yeah, I've said that too. And many people are willing to do just about anything to get back to some sense of normalcy. There you go. Out of chaos will come a new world order. Those fears appear more justified with each passing day. In the book of Revelation, 13:16-17, there's a passage that has attracted the imagination of believers and disbelievers throughout the ages, and perhaps even more so right now. And, quote, here's the passage, and he caused us all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he has that mark. Wow. Was John of Patmos history first conspiracy theorist? This is the guy who wrote the book Revelations. Or are we merely indulging ourselves today with a case of self-fulfilling prophecy? Whatever the case may be, many people would probably have serious reservations about being branded. There we go. Mark of the Beast with an ID code. And it has never been mentioned, even if it had never been mentioned in the Holy Scripture. But that certainly has not stopped Microsoft founder Bill Gates, who's been warning about a global pandemic for years, from pushing such controversial technologies on all of us. But remember, Bill Gates is the same guy that a couple of months before the coronavirus was released, this plandemic, P-L-A-N, plandemic, that did a doggone data run on it to see what kind of results that they would have on it. There you go. In September 2019, just 3 months before the coronavirus first appeared, you know, in China, ID 2020, a San Francisco-based biometric company that counts Microsoft as one of its founding members, quietly announced it was undertaking a new project that involves the exploration of multiple biometric identification technologies for infants that is based on infant immunization and only uses the most successful approaches. I mean, guys, you know, if it's not bad enough that they're doing this to us. This not that bad enough, okay? Because it sucks they're doing this, okay? But the fact that now we're looking at the book of Revelation, and it says it's going to do this to us. God warned us about what they're going to do. And the fact that they know what the book of Revelation says, and they're going to do it anyhow. Like it says in this article, like a planned prophecy. And here's the other issue. Have we been given so much fluoride and so many statin drugs and so many tricyclic antidepressants and serotonin reuptake inhibitors that we can't think through what they're doing to us and how they're bringing in an ID chip, a stamp on your hand, invisible tattoo on your forehead or your hand that won't allow you to buy or sell if you don't have the mark of the beast, or I guess they're going to call it an ID chip, to show that you've been coronavirus taken care of. I remember that one movie that was with Justin Timberlake a few years ago. Remember they had that tattoo, that digital implant on his arm that was, I think it was Just About Time or whatever the movie was. And, you know, they would take time off of your life and everything was recorded in a digital mark and a digital tattoo that would change timelines and time, how much time you had left to live. Is this where we're going to, this utopian George Orwell system in which every thought of every man was evil all the time, in which we're tied into a 5G D-Wave computer that allows Lucifer to become omnipresent and control our very thoughts and our very minds, where everybody's thought will be evil all the time, as it was in the book of Revelation, I'm sorry, the book of Genesis in chapter 6. Well, Jesus said that, didn't he? Jesus said, when I return, when the coming of the Son of Man, it'll be as it was in Genesis chapter 6. When he's referring to, I believe, where every thought was evil all the time. Guys, this is the same group of Satanists that have been at war against God since the beginning of time that we know about, that's written about in the book of Revelation. This is the same group. The Canaanite religions, the Druids, the Egyptian mythology, and all the stuff that they believed and all the weird stuff they did. Remember when the Jews came out of Egypt after 400 years? I've done a whole show on this. What do they do? You know, Moses goes up to the mountain to just basically hang out with God, get the Ten Commandments, and learn about the five first books of the law, the Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and what he needs to write about all this stuff as far as his prehistory. So God gives him a little teaching lesson, I guess, up there on the mountain for a few weeks, few months, or whatever he was gone. And he comes back down, and these guys are having an orgy. And they take their gold, and they basically make a cow. And they're having human sacrifices. Gosh. They're doing the same stuff they did in Egypt after 400 years of that. They're practicing the ancient Canaanite religions and the stuff out of Baal and Moloch and Asherah and Egypt. And God's so mad at them, he goes, I'm going to kill them all. I'm going to kill them all. He's going to kill all of them. And Moses says, hey, look, God, please don't. He negotiates, which is pretty bold to negotiate with God. But it tells you that God really loved Moses. It is awesome. It's pretty bold.
I know. No, I didn't God think about it that way. So you just said that. That's you know, pretty strong.
Yeah, you know, he's got to have a pretty good relationship, right? And so he doesn't kill them all. He just kills a bunch of them. But they could never get it out. They could never get this ancient Canaanite mess out of them. That's why when Jesus looked at the guys in the book of John who were going to crucify him, they said, we're the children of Abraham. He goes, Abraham, no, you're the children of Lucifer. Your father's the devil. He's a liar from the beginning. You're his children. I guess he called him. He may have said, in our words today, the 90 Nephilim, sons of the fallen. Calls them out right in the temple there. And sure enough, they crucify him. And what do? It says, if the God of this age had known what they were doing, they never would have, what he was doing, he would never have crucified the Son of Glory. Why did he do that? Because he thought he could kill Christ, kill God, in the meantime, do it all together, stop the sacrifice, but he didn't realize he was causing the sacrifice. This is the thing that he did because he's not omnipresent. Had he known what he was doing, he never would have crucified the Son of Glory, the Bible says. See, that's what they want to do with CERN. It's one of the key things of CERN. They want to go back and change the timeline. They want to make sure Christ never goes on the cross. It's not going to happen. God won't allow that to happen. He controls the timelines. That's why they haven't had any success with it. The only thing they've managed to do, opening these doggone portals with a bunch of demons in. I mean, what a bunch of mess these guys are involved And they, of course, they have that Shiva sacrifice, mock human sacrifice outside of that CERN facility. And then they have the opening of the tunnels through Switzerland, and they have this giant druidic ceremony. Yeah, you guys need to watch that one online. That's who rules the planet, guys. The same group who took down Building 7. Never forget that. And remember, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, because we are in covenant with the Most High God through the blood of the Lamb, through Jesus. Always remember that. Austin, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, and also, do you remember when they did that CERN thing? It set off earthquakes and black holes all over the planet, too. I mean, it's idiotic technology to be involved.
That's exactly right.
See what it actually does. I mean, it's just not, there's no reason to be involved in it. There's no positive aspect of what it brings about, except what Dad just said for them. That's why they want to do it. But they're not coming in and saying, oh, well, if we do this, you know, we found the cure to aging. Nobody will age if we do this. No, it doesn't do that. They're literally trying to set up like a wormhole, a portal. They can time travel. There's been theories on that. But again, with God, that's something that I don't think he really is ever going to allow to happen. Because the problem is, when you start doing that whole thing, you can kick one rock in the wrong direction. You start doing that, and you can change the entire course of certain situations. And I don't think that's something that he would ever allow to have happen. But also, other news, back to what we were talking about, with the immune system and what I was talking about earlier, with the reasoning behind what they're doing, it's not making sense anymore. There's a doctor now that has come out now, Knut Walski, PhD. He's actually a veteran scholar of epidemiology, and he's kind of been starting to say the same thing I have. Is he said this mass quarantine to flatten the curve is only prolonging the corona's pandemic. He said the virus could be exterminated within a couple weeks to a month at most if people were allowed to lead normal lives. However, if the vulnerable older individuals sheltered until the virus passed. So what people are trying to do to flatten the curve, he goes, this makes zero sense. What happens if you flatten the curve, all you do is prolong it, you widen it, and it takes more time, and I don't see a good reason for that on a respiratory disease that has such a low death rate to stay in a population longer than necessary. He said if about 80% of the people, if contracted it, majority of which would not even have any significant side effects, which we've already seen, and he said the ones that did, if they handled it appropriately and had a healthy immune system, they could get through it. And this is exactly what we've been talking about. If everybody, if they got on national television and said, hey, you need to stock up on zinc and the vitamin C's. Vitamin C is crucial. Your D3 levels need to be through the roof. You need to be taking at least 10 to 20,000 IUs every day of vitamin D. You need to be taking 4 to 6,000 milligrams of vitamin C. And guys, we're going to let this virus run through. Majority of you guys are going to kick it off. The ones that don't, you have an issue, you need to come to the hospital. We'll run you basically on the chloroquine, and we'll push you guys through this. After that happens, everybody's going to pretty much be naturally immune to it, and we're going to move past it. And that's exactly what this doctor's talking about here. He said doing what we're doing and trying to keep everybody sheltered in place to not get exposed to it and hide everybody from it. He goes, all it's going to do is extend it and protract it, and more people are going to get sicker longer and longer and longer down the road, and the majority of people are never going to be immune to this stuff because they never got exposed to it, and you're going to have continuous bouts of this pop up and up and up. And that's exactly what we should be doing, is allowing this thing to run its course. If you're older, if you have health problems, you should be really, really careful about what you're being exposed to, where you're going. Rely on community efforts to help get you food and product and stuff like that, and just chill out at home and quarantine. And the rest of everybody, do what you got to do. Run your business. Keep the economy going. I mean, we were spooled up wide open. I mean, look what was going on, even though it was massively inflated as far as with the Dow Jones and everything. But we had it running. I mean, everything was really starting to run strong. The housing market was still much stronger than I thought it was going to be. But I told you guys, I said, they aren't going to allow this to go on forever. They're not going to do it. They will not allow it to happen. And so now they've used this virus as an excuse to shut down the economy, as Dad just said. But I'm with this guy. You got to kind of have, you know, the the strongest survive with this aspect. If people are going to get it, they're going to get it. But now trying to prolong it, which is exactly what they're doing with this quarantine, if this was something like the Black Plague and had like an 80% death rate, and we saw, you know, we've had 10,000 people get it in the U.S. last week, and 8,000 people died within a few days of contracting it, yeah. Now we got a problem. Now we got full respiratory mask. If you even walk outside, nobody leaves your home. You need to be in stored food buckets. That's where that goes real quick. We haven't even come anywhere close to that. We're talking the death rate in the U.S. is like 1.5%, 2%. Majority of it's all individuals that had health issues. So understand what's going on. Dad and I have been living normal lives. We run a business all day long. I'm building a house still right now. I'm dealing with subcontractors every single day. I'm getting material from Lowe's. Am I using wisdom and making sure I wash my hands even more than I already do? Yeah. Am I making sure that, you know, if people are, I see people coughing or hacking, I make sure I actively avoid them? Yeah. Am I still taking an absolute monster amount of vitamin C and D3 and zinc and other supplements? Am I going to stragglers that we got back in stock? Absolutely. But I'm not sitting around going, man, if I get this stuff, If I get it, I get it. I'm just going to have to deal with it. I know my body and I know my immune system is unbelievably strong, and I know I can get through it. For all I know, I may have already caught it last year when I had that flu that I thought I got, and I was coughing up, hacking, and I got up to 104, 105 temperature, and I was in bed for like 3 or 4 days, and I ended up just hammering astragalus and all these other supplements that we have here on the website on a regular basis, and I got through it after like 4 or 5 days. Really fatigued for about a week after that, I'm not going to lie, but that was like, what, October, November last year? I don't even know. Did that have been it? Maybe. But I got through it. I got past it. Everybody needs to understand that, because the fear that they're peddling with this stuff is exactly what they want everybody to feed off of, because the more fear they can instill, the more people feel vulnerable, and the more vulnerable people feel, the more they ask for the government to step in, babysit them, coddle them, change their diaper, and feed them a bottle, and take all of their rights away in the meantime, Dad. And, I mean, we've been saying this exact same thing for the last 3 months with the immune system.
Yeah, that's right. In fact, the Wall Street Journal today, that liberal rag, came out with an article that says haywire immune response hiding coronavirus deaths and treatment, and it talks about the cytokine storm. I talked to you guys in detail what a cytokine storm was back in January. It's when the macrophages don't have any vitamin D and they can't turn on, so they set a little flare gun up, which is a cytokine, which causes other macrophages to come over. They don't have any D, so they can't turn on and kill the virus. So they send up a cytokine storm, and that cytokine storm causes inflammation and causes the lungs to fill with fluid. And they die. They drowned. They drowned in their own fluids. And this is what the primary cause of death was from the Spanish flu 100 years ago, with cytokine storms. And I talked about this 4 months ago, and now the Wall Street Journal is finally starting to discuss it. It's all based on vitamin D3, and then potassium iodide is so important, vitamin C, and astragalus. We've got all those things back in stock now. So we've got everything back for you. By the way, Breitbart came out with a really good article from Dennis Prager, who I really like, and says, coronavirus reveals the holes in the godless and religious life of the American population. And I'm going to post this article up there for you, because I want you to realize. Because, I mean, you know, here's what he says. I think that people will realize that there's been a certain foolishness in thinking that a godless and a religious lack of religion is rich, said Prager. It isn't. And it's crisis that makes it clear. Secular people lack a built-in community relative to the faithful, said Prager. Understanding the value of companionship and a loving marriage becomes more widespread in difficult times. The other thing that I think is going to come out of this is that I think that all these young people in America who have a cavalier attitude towards marriage, think about what he's saying, may realize that being alone with my CEO status or my Yale PhD isn't quite as good as being with someone that I might love and who really loves me and cares about me, Prager determined. Marlowe asks, has the absence of faith left us more vulnerable at this moment? Because I can't help but feel that it has. An absence of faith leaves people less prepared to confront suffering, he added. Of course we're better prepared with faith, replied Prager, describing religious practice as a preparation to deal with these types of conditions. I'm paraphrasing some of this. Who's better prepared if a ship sinks? The people who have been practicing swimming their whole life, or people who don't know how to swim? The religious know how to swim when it's bad, and that makes them more prepared. Now, I'm going to repeat that. Who's better prepared if a ship sinks? people who have been practicing swimming their whole life or people who don't know how to swim. I'm going to paraphrase this. Who's better prepared if your immune system is pushed? The people who are taking supplements to keep their immune system strong, or those who don't care about their immune systems and end up becoming a statistic and dying from this? That's my way of saying that. Guys, I love you. Great show today. Really enjoyed today's show. Gosh, our show's been really good, and I don't mean to take any credit for that because that's just the Holy Spirit last few weeks. But I think that's because we're trying to maintain a faith-based message here. You know, so many of you contribute, and you know, when you give $5 or $10 or $20 on your order to the Ted and Austin Brower Show, and I want to personally thank you for that. If it wasn't for you guys, you know, supporting the show and listening to the show, we wouldn't be here. And I want you to know it's my honor, my duty, my privilege to pray for you today. I was on with Man Cow again this morning, and I've been praying for his listeners today. Guys, I love you, and I'm so happy we're family, and I'm so glad I get to be with you guys every day and share our experiences. I'll also go ahead and finish it up, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Absolutely, guys, and thank you again so much for the just continual support of everything. We finally got our joint rebuilding formula back in stock. I've had a lot of emails on that. I put it on the website. We got an email going out on it today. The joint rebuilding formula, that, I mean, I've missed that product. It's always been really good for my knees and stuff, especially when I used to lift so heavy. So I want to give everybody a heads up on that. Front page of the website, joint rebuilding formula back in stock, and then just continue to be staying prepped and staying up. That's why I've told everybody, make sure you have some extra food. We've been working diligently trying to get more of the organic food buckets back in stock, and so I think we have 200 more coming in now. That's it. That's all they would give us, 200 food buckets, which that sounds like a lot, but you think about it, that's only two food buckets for 100 people. You know, that's not a whole lot of food. So I'll keep you guys apprised on that. That's going to be a first come, first serve thing. I don't like pre-selling them and doing stuff because there's been so much discrepancy and so much, so many issues, let's put it that way, with some of these vendors that saying they have stuff, they can get stuff, and then all of a sudden, oh, well, it's going to take 10 to 12 weeks to ship it out. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be that guy. I've never been that guy. If I have it, I have it. If I don't, I don't. Unless we run into an issue where somebody buys this out and the website hasn't caught up to the orders and, you know, we have to pull it off the website. But no, I'm not going to start pre-selling stuff that I don't have in inventory or telling you it's in stock and it's, you know, 4 months away. So I'll keep you apprised on that. But be sure, magnesium brain food still on sale for the rest of the week, 10% off. Product of the week that you guys voted in, it won the Sublingual B12, great product. And be sure to vote for what you want to see win next week on Product of the Week. Thank you for the support. Stay alert, stay awake, stay prepped, and we'll talk to you tomorrow as always.